You're very welcome to join me this morning for the second part in our Digging Deep series, as we follow social farming on a number of farms in Sligo and Leitrim. If you listened in last week, you already have a sense of what social farming is, and the unassuming, down-to-earth way in which normal personal interactions and simple tasks, mixed together with a little bit of guidance and patience, can empower people in many different ways. If you're new to the idea of social farming, here's a little recap from last week.
So people who are in health and social care services or who need support can receive that support through ordinary activities on a farm. So they might go, for example, one day a week to a farm, they meet up with the farmer and they get involved in ordinary activities on the farm. That could be anything from tending animals, herding, from growing fruit, vegetables, all of the ordinary activities that go on farms. And it's wonderful to be able to open up those spaces for people to enjoy and to benefit from them, to benefit from the fresh air, the environment that it is. It's completely different to anything else. And farmers are actually at the coalface of breaking down barriers for a lot of people. Plenty of people are excluded in many different ways, and particularly people with disabilities, and they can become invisible. And getting the opportunity to mix and mingle in the community alongside a farmer gives them a visibility that might not be there otherwise.
That's Helen Doherty, Ireland's National Social Farming Coordinator. From the Sophie offices in Drumshambo, she and her team create matches between farms across the country and participants coming from various support services. I hope you enjoyed visiting Adrienne and Graham last week and seeing the great progress that James is making with them. Everyone there was already well versed in social farming, but this week I'm setting my sights on Quarryfield Farm in Bunanaddin, where a group from CI Connect in Sligo are just a few weeks into their very first social farming placement. Amy Geraghty is their support worker, and it's also her first experience of social farming.
Yeah, so we're a hub based in town and we work with school leavers, clients from 18 to 65. Our intake is probably people who have come from National Learning Network or people who have come from school. So they would have learning disabilities or intellectual disabilities. The interest from here came from the open day that the lads come out to. So Tig is just finished school and another lad came from school as well. Bradley's been with us a little longer. There's another lad here, he's not here today. When they expressed an interest in the social farming, I didn't know a huge amount around social farming. I asked another colleague and then I suppose I spoke to Charlotte and got a bit more information about it. And I told her I had three individuals that were interested in social farming, and I just sent on their names and left it with her. She had to source the funding. And it took maybe 6-7 months. So then when the funding did come through, it was very quick. We would have been provided with, I think, 3 or 4 profiles of different farms. And Kelly and Jared's farm was probably the farm that suited these lads the best. I suppose it's active, it's hands-on, it's manual, which is what the lads wanted to do. So they got funding for 10 weeks, and then we got an additional funding for another 4. Once the funding's there, you come out and you met Kelly and Jared. You kind of sat together to look at what the lads wanted to get from it, what Kelly and Jared could offer. And then, yeah, we got started. So it's weekly, every week. They start at 10:30 and they go right through until 3.
Farmers Jared and Kelly Doherty are father and daughter. They've welcomed social farmers of all kinds to Quarryfield over the course of the last few years. I asked them about the dynamics within a group placement, like the one coming to the farm today from CI Connect, which I imagine could be quite different to what we saw with James last week.
Do you remember the group of lads that were here, and once one of them got used to using the drill for putting on the tech screws, we were sheeting a door, and once the first guy got familiar with it, we could stand back and he was showing the others. That was a lovely interaction to see.
Yeah, because they hadn't known each other before they came out, but it was nice to see them actually working together. Like, I suppose there's more to it than just the actual farming side of it. Like, there's a lot more benefits from it than what people might think at first. Or even the exercise.
The word G like to use is activities on the farm rather than, and it is.
We don't.
It's exercising their body, their head, everything. But I remember when we were introduced to social farming first, and we said like that, what have we to offer? Yeah. And the social farming representative said, you can't imagine what you have to offer. Mm. You know, you have the knowledge of 20 or 30 or 40 years of farming. You have this asset, that people love. There's an incredible amount on the farm, whether it be planting a bush and seeing growings in the apples. Like, we planted apple trees up there with participants. I don't know, was it a year later though? There were apples. Is it a year, 2 years, whatever, since? I'm not sure.
That's the job that took a long time, because we ended up dancing beside the apple trees with them, with the baby, more than actually putting up the fence. It took a while, but like, we can walk around the farm now and see, like, you know, different things that were done with different groups, whether it was like, these lads have helped us. We have a lot of new fencing going on at the moment, and like, they've helped us put up the fence, you know, whereas when you started out in that field, there wouldn't have been any of the fences up there when you started. Even hanging the gate, like, we asked them which way was upside down. Not everybody be able to tell you, and they actually were able to logically figure out which way we should hang the gate.
We headed on to catch Bradley and Tig as they were starting up the field to round up a few sheep. One of the benefits of social farming, regardless of what stage the participants are at, is fostering regular routines and a sense of purpose. The boys gave me a flavour of how social farming fits into their week.
One day we usually play football.
Yeah.
Today we go farming. Tomorrow we're back in college.
Yeah.
In the IT college.
And then Thursday you would do when?
Gym.
Kind of like a student's gym.
Yeah, student's gym.
Yeah, in the college as well.
And then Friday we have off.
Yeah.
Relax from our sore bones. Well, that's me anyways. I'm from Sligo, yeah. No, I'm a townie. But I work hard as a farmer. Maybe one day.
What about you, Tig?
Oh, probably just relax as well.
Now, Bradley had something to add, I think.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say thank you for Amy, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Amy or any of the staff in our college who gave us this opportunity to come and do this.
Amy is very good too, is she?
Yeah. She is, she's lovely. All the staff in our college is lovely. Our college is in Sligo. Yeah.
From the outset, there's a great appetite for work from Tig and Bradley. Like James last week, they're delighted to get stuck into anything that's going on the farm. But for Gerard and Kelly, the joy of social farming is also the many subtle ways in which its magic goes to work on participants and farmers alike.
There's a very, very nice man who was here, and he'd been in the tech business and living in a flat on his own. And when he came here, it was very low key, even though he was young enough, but it was the chat. And he was willing to tell us about his life, and it was very interesting from what he did and what he achieved.
He probably didn't see that many people in the week. And for that placement, like, Mike was very young, and anytime, like, well, he was always out with us, but he was, at first he was in a carrier, so nobody could really see him, but like, he was, what, 3 weeks old or something, so I wasn't really thinking. And then I know one week, for some reason, I decided to put him in the pram. I don't know, do you remember that? And then the two participants were like, asked, you know, trying to take turns, like, pushing the pram and, like, you know, taking care of him. I know I was still there, but like, it made me realize that was actually part of it. Like, they probably didn't get to interact with babies, and if they came for, let's say, 8 weeks, you know, he changed an awful lot, but he was a big part of it. Like, I remember them standing there going, oh, I'll mind the pram now, but they were like, no, you go and get the sheep, I'll mind the pram. But like, I realized they were actually enjoying, like, rocking the pram and, you know, having a chat with him or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely, like I said earlier, it is not just the farming, but it takes a while to actually see that. Like, I wouldn't, maybe in the first few weeks, didn't, you know, appreciate that. I thought, like, it was just about them coming out to do the farming, and then you see all the other, whether it's Bob, like, people get out and they greet Bob, and then they ask me what's my name, even though they've been coming for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, they all love seeing him when they get out of the car.
Yeah, it gives them something to talk about, even for, you know, when they're meeting people during the week, like. And so I guess that's part of it too.
There's no downside to it.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kelly, I was nervous in the beginning. Social farming brings a new life,
you know. And structure in your week.
Structure,
I suppose, because on a farm every day is the same, you know, even on a Sunday, like, the horses have to be mucked out or the horses have to be fed, whereas social farming, like, you know, on a Tuesday at the moment, like, we have these lads coming, and then on a Wednesday we have a different group, and it's not always, you know, it's not always too overlapping, but like, it just, yeah, it gives you a bit of structure in your week as well.
Yeah.
As we round the corner, we're greeted by a pair of long, fluffy necks extending over the barn gate, and I'm disarmed by the appearance of a pair of alpacas in the barn alongside the horses in their pens. Not so Bradley and Tig, who really seem to be coming into their own here. They are clearly well used to them.
What happens next?
We put the ropes around the alpacas to put cream on their feet.
One of them has a bit of a skin issue at the moment, so we've been treating him every week.
And what do you make of the alpacas?
They're beautiful, but they're rough, they can be. They're tough. I guess you have to be confident to go up and hold them. Show confidence, they will let us do what we need to be doing.
How many weeks have you been here with them?
Is this your eighth day today?
Yes. Could be, yeah, it is. Yeah, they definitely know we're about. Yeah, that's one of the things we like doing.
Okay.
I like herding the sheep and bringing them in to get bait.
I'll leave it over to you, so don't need me.
Which one? White one or black?
So Ezra has a bit of a skin condition on his feet, so we're putting, this week it's a powder on, like an antiseptic powder. The lads do this every week when they come, and it's great to see now, like, they know what they're doing, they know usually how to put the halter on, they know to go and get the product themselves. Like, it's, you know, it's nice to see each week that they're kind of learning what they're supposed to be doing, and they do some of the things then just without even being asked to. So the getting the head collar on Ezra, and the other one doesn't need anything done, but he's very protective of his friends, so that's why he's standing right beside him. So and like as you said, the lads, like, they do have to be some bit confident, you know, like some people are afraid of the alpacas because they've never seen an alpaca before, but the lads are good for, like, being willing to try new things they've never done before. And in general, these two and the other lad that normally comes with them, like, they don't shy away from things that they're, I suppose, they came for to experience things they hadn't experienced before, and they're very much embracing that. Yeah, I think this is slightly less intimidating than 2 weeks ago, and again last week they were rattling the rams, so putting the rattle on their chest, so I think that for you was a bit more intimidating than putting this on the alpaca's feet.
It's a lot easier now, I would say.
And so what's next?
Bring in another group of sheep and rattle the ram?
Yeah.
Basically, we herd the sheep into that room there to put a paint type of thing on them.
Okay.
So when they mate, we know what ones they're pregnant.
Once again, the boys are quietly confident in their tasks.
Just make sure to go into the right spot they're meant to be going into.
We have three different rams, so we change the rattle colour every week. So what colour are we on this week, lads?
Blue.
And that way, when they come in for lambing, like, you know that all the sheep with, like, yellow rattle on them were, like, will be due in, let's say, the first week of lambing. Then the second colour we do in the second week, and so on.
To kind of go around them, Bob. To force them out that way.
Bob, come here.
The sheep, they look at us to see what we're at. So you have to be clever and sneaky at the same time. See, they're all running towards that way now. Yeah, because sometimes they run off and do their own thing. Once, I think, it happened to me. Say it work. But it's worth it, I think. Feel good in myself.
And what kind of bits do you prefer, Tig?
I think I'd call the sheep.
Yeah.
And for lots of, for all of this, the animals is probably the favourite part of the job.
Back at the barn, as we're waiting for the sheep to come down, Gerard and Kelly reflect on some of the positives that they draw from social farming.
But Kelly's idea was, and same with me, to give back something to the community. So we do benefit financially, but we're also, it's our way of contributing to the community.
Yeah. It benefits everybody involved. Some things only benefit one party, but I think social farming benefits everybody who's involved in it. Yeah. So, like, you can cater for the individual because, you know, it's a small group. It's normally a max of three that we'd have. And, yeah, like, you can cater for their different needs. And the fact that there are two of us doing it, you know, Gerald can do a task with one while I do something either slower or like simpler with the other person. So there's a few different things going on here. So it's not like we just have sheep and it's...
And it doesn't have to be a work.
There was one of the participants here was loved music. And I remember setting out to do a job, but we ended up just dancing around in the field to his music. And like every time that participant came, like it was nice to see that interaction.
Yeah.
Very positive. Result that relieves the isolation, mm-hmm. boredom. Like we've had farmers, one farmer for sure coming here, and it's very, very lonely. Yeah. And come here, have the cup of tea and the chat, and go around and do a few activities or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. So, computer technicians, whether it be welders, farmers, different sort of thing. We've had them for all walks of life, mm-hmm. and they all benefited to the same degree. Like one particular guy, when he went home, then it gave him a new interest in his farm, and we were planting whitethorn bushes sort of to improve the environment, and he thought, well, I'll take some home and I'll fill a few gaps or do something and give him a new lease of life.
Yeah,
so I think that's brilliant. You know, maybe he was on his own and he was lonesome, and the isolation can play with your mind.
So, Ty, tell me what he's doing there.
Oh, he's trying to get them in here, into this pin, and trying to put spray paint on them and just check if they're all right and good and healthy.
Well, you're probably not scared of all the sheep coming at you if you're used to cows. They're only small.
No.
But they do get a bit skittish, don't they?
Yeah.
Has she a tiny little bit of colour in her? Or is it my imagination?
Tiny bit.
So this is the paint here, Tig.
Mm-hmm.
Then how does it go on?
Goes under. I hold the paint.
I think some weeks you painted them, didn't you?
Which one of you put the rattle on the previous one?
I think it was last week.
And then the week before Bradley did it.
Oh yeah.
Because we were saying it was a new thing for him to be telling when he went home, explaining what the rattle was and why he was putting it on. Not exactly what he expected to be doing when he signed up to social farming, I'd say, but they don't shy away.
You want me to go and do?
Yeah, please.
Bradley is the artist today. Yeah, if you can keep it tight, keep tightening it up.
Should we this one first?
Gwyn is in as far as he can, in the centre, in the centre. Yeah. On the chest, get in between the front two legs on the chest. What do you think?
I think so.
Can you get a look or not?
Yeah, I got him.
Okay. If they go out, I'll let this guy go.
They being the humans or the sheep?
Don't want to let the wrong ones out. Good job, boys.
Thank you.
For today, Charlotte Kelly, the Northwest Area Coordinator for Social Farming Ireland, also came along to cast an eye over what was going on. I asked her about the various kinds of people that are taking part in social farming in the Northwest.
Yeah, we work across a wide variety of sectors, the disability sector, the mental health sector. In Sligo Leitrim, we have a service level agreement with the mental health service for the past, I want to say, 6 to 7 years,
okay.
Where they get a set amount of blocks each year, and they come out. It might be repeat clients every year, or it could be new people to social farming. We also work with schools, so leave and start apply programs, school completion programs, and transition year. Elder care, we actually just started a very interesting placement over the east of the country with visually impaired participants. So it really, there's no definitive answer to who can do social farming. Everybody can get involved.
This is something that Jared and Kelly really relish. Social farming has introduced them to so many different people, and in response, they've learned how to shape their own approach.
Yeah, at first the majority of them were all through the mental health service. Yeah, then we had some participants with intellectual disabilities, and I think more especially because mental health services takes in like such an array of people,
yeah.
I think, no, even within that we probably had different ages, different genders, different abilities, like even coming from the same service, like, they'll tell us what's kind of relevant, but I suppose some of it you kind of have to figure out yourself. Like, it can take a few weeks to figure out, like, no, that job needed to be broken down into like even smaller parts, or the pace could be upped a bit, or
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it does take a few weeks, I guess, to see what they're able to do or what they like doing, because
yeah. like you do want to kind of keep them engaged all the time, even with like people with intellectual disabilities. Like I suppose I wouldn't have actually interacted with that many people with intellectual disabilities. You know, it takes you a while to figure out what they like can do and can't do. Or like we had one participant before who was non-verbal. Like, you know, at first I was a little bit thrown by like kind of how to make conversation, but I mean by the end of it we knew like her different signals for things, whether it was, you know, yes or no, or you know, after a few weeks
she was very engaged.
Yeah, like we were really able to knock as much of a laugh out of her and her out
and
of us.
She was enjoying, she was well able to laugh. Like we would have thought, how on earth are you going to do chores, do whatever, discuss what she wants and what she didn't want? But she was so jovial and her laugh was what do you call it?
Infectious.
Yeah. But she had a particular way, you know, there was certain things she might tap on your shoulder for one thing, or she might, she was very good at giving signals. And
so as we learned to
very good at letting us know what the signals meant, you know, she wasn't,
if you forgot something, like if you left it down and asked, you know, where it was, like she'd bring, you know, she'd bring you back to show you where it was. And then also like her support workers were excellent. And I think as well, like a large part of it is in the initial weeks anyway, reliant on the support workers. And I think
lovely.
Like he
they
said,
really
like, yeah, they deserve
and
a lot of credit.
With the participants, know everything about them, know how to deal with situations. They're so good. And we're meeting them as well. That's another, and we're seeing things from their perspective. It's a lovely environment.
So like every placement you do, especially when you deal with a new service, I think gives you more experience and I guess more confidence is some of it, because at first, you know, you might doubt kind of yourself or what you're doing. That's a lot of what social farming is about. And, you know, like the inclusivity. But like I know when we went to an open day before, you know, when we were considering doing this, and there was one woman there spoke kind of on behalf of her daughter. And she said, like before social farming, she kind of felt like people were trying to hide her daughter away, but that through social farming, now this place sold vegetables to the public and stuff like that, but the daughter was getting to interact with people who came in to buy vegetables. And she said like that's what it should be, like that her daughter shouldn't be, I suppose, hidden away is how she put it. It's not just how I'm putting it, but like when I see Mike, I know it's very idealistic, but when I see him with the participants, like he didn't ever ask me why that participant couldn't talk, you know, like I think if you're brought up with all of this, you know, if we were all mixing with people from different walks of life all the time, then it would be the norm. And you wouldn't be trying to figure out, you know, how do I communicate with somebody who's nonverbal. Now, Bradley had something to add, I think.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say thank you for Amy, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Amy or any of the staff in our college who gave us this opportunity to come and do this.
Amy is very good too, is she?
Yeah. She is, she's lovely. All the staff in our college is lovely.
Such lovely, sincere praise highlights how often the activities around the farm put everyone on an equal footing. This is Amy's first time to try out social farming with her students. She compares the students on their very first visit to their attitude now, just a few short weeks further on.
Shy, timid. I mean, I was following them around. Just, I suppose, look, from our side, you have to risk assess things and make sure things, you know, the lads are safe. So now they just, you know, they hop out of the van and that's it till 3 o'clock. I suppose, look, it builds massive confidence in the lads from when they first started to where they are now. You can see it yourself. They have the confidence to take things on, get involved, get stuck in. They love coming out, and then I suppose it gives them a role, you know, makes them or gives them that feeling of importance. So I think I'm asking them, you know, we're going through, what do you do today? And there'll be some funny stories and jokes, and you know, one of the days got knocked down by an alpaca, so that was the joke. And you know, another day I had photos of them running across the field chasing the sheep. So you have the bit of crack, but they're wrecked as well. I mean, they're working solid. They take maybe a 20 minute break or a half hour break, and the rest of the time they're working solid through. They want to be stuck in, they don't want to be sitting around chatting, having cups of tea. They just want to be on the go. I mean, you can't get better experience than out here. It's really, really hands-on. Like they're like two of the lads coming from a farming background, and Bradley has a real interest in the farming side of things. So it was an ideal opportunity for the lads to come out here. And I suppose they all have a number of goals that they're working on. So this is only one part, and you finish this goal and you review it, and then you look at what they want to do next. You know, they may want to continue to work with animals in a different capacity. They may want to try something completely new. They may want to down the line do another social farming placement. I suppose it depends on what the lads are interested in. The skills, I mean, the confidence is a massive thing. So they can bring this confidence into, I suppose, their other experiences or other activities that they do. And I suppose you're trying out different things, you know, whether it be working on a farm or working in a shop or working in a gym, and getting a taste of different activities, and then maybe looking at what you'd like, what you're interested in and what you want to do next.
Charlotte has seen how that journey can continue, encouraging participants towards other new things.
We've had several participants in the past move on to further education or training and employment as well. One story that I suppose sticks out is a lady that done a placement, but it was after COVID. She was very socially isolated. She lived with her elderly parents, and after a social farming placement, she got the confidence and the courage to go back out. So then she got a part-time job in a charity shop. But it just shows just building the confidence and giving someone a space to flourish. We see huge benefits. It's confidence building, skills building, just working as part of a team. Communication, you know, it's a huge part. It can be taken for granted, but it's a huge, huge thing, is social interaction. You know, our social farms, we encourage as much interaction with the local community as possible. You know, like a neighbour might drop in, you know, and they might then be in town, for instance, and meet that neighbour. And it's just those little things that you wouldn't even think of yourself, but it's a huge thing for somebody that would be, I suppose, socially isolated. Little interactions of people popping in, or, you know, there might be workers on the farm that are going to be there for the morning or something. You know, they might just have a cup of tea with them. You know, it's just that little bit of social interaction that we encourage.
All of this comes down to the careful and caring way in which placements are planned and organised. Not a hint of a one-size-fits-all philosophy here.
And I suppose that's the word that we use the most often in social farming. It depends. It depends on the farmer. It depends on the participants. For a participant, some just prefer to work one-on-one with the farmer. And it depends on their goals for their placement. So each of our participants come with an individual support plan that their support worker or their family support will do up with them and identify goals for their placement. So an individual placement was really that one-on-one work and those skills building and skill sampling. For these guys, I suppose it was more of the social interaction that they wanted to get, as long as learning new skills as well. So it really just depends on the group or the individual. We take a person-centred approach, so it's up to them whether they want to do an individual placement or work with others. It's really important to match people to the right farm and to the right participants as well. So it's looking at their interests. If their interests are similar, and then speaking to their support staff as well, if they have the same kind of personality, and then getting them to meet on the induction day. That's the key part. Sometimes the participants come from different services, but like this group, they're all from the same service, so they already knew each other. They were already friends, so it makes it that little bit easier for them.
Okay. But I think the sheep are more scared of us than we are of them.
They're learning a lot about animals, and that was one of his ambitions when he came out here, Bradley in particular, to learn about farming and animals. And he's very good, very adaptable. Gets tired, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, it proves a day of hard work.
But equally with us, because we're socialising, and the farm can be a lonesome spot. As I said earlier, this is our day off, and we socialise and watch people, you know, learning new tasks and improving. Week by week, they're improving. You know, really are. You know, as soon as you get out in the field or get out with animals, your mood improves. People with different levels of ability or struggling with life, and see the smile on their face when they land, or the dog would run over to them, or the sheep, we have a pet sheep, blind sheep, and she'll come running over. She comes to her name, Whitney Jr. They all know, everyone knows Whitney, Whitney Jr. I think I didn't appreciate it in time. We were very intensive for a long, long time when she started with the social farming.
Yeah.
It was a new thing. I was a bit nervous, but I'm really, really glad that we did it. From my health, my mental health, and meeting people, and I think it's very good for us, and it's great for the children. Mm. See, Mike was born around the same time as we started the social farming, Kelly's son. He's generally out of this. He's non-judgmental, he treats everyone the same, he brings them doing this, doing that, whatever. Help me with this, help me with that.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way to bring up children, very inclusive. So it's been very, very good for us.
And do you enjoy being outdoors?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It makes you happier, mm-hmm. less depressed, sitting at home doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You're out doing something you're proud of to do. And I was just ready to work, get my hands dirty, mm-hmm. and do what needs to be done.
And you, Tyke?
Yeah, I like the animals. I have a farm at home. We don't have sheep, alpacas.
A pig?
Pigs. we don't have any of those animals. Yeah, we have cows.
He might invest in a few sheep.
Yeah, that's too much money.
It's not all about money. If you're happy.
In case there are any farmers listening out there who like the sound of all this, don't hesitate. Charlotte would be very keen to hear from you.
In Sligo, Leitrim, we'd need farmers on the west side of Sligo. This side of Sligo is fine. We have enough to meet the demand, I suppose. Mm. We have social media, and we do radio interviews and TV interviews and newspaper articles, but I suppose just trying to get the word out there.
Well, people might be nervous about signing up as well. From farms, there's no time for anything else, you know?
And I suppose that's what we ask, is anyone that is interested in becoming a social farmer, is they have to have the time to do it. Mm. We only ask one day per week, but they have to have that time to give that one day per week, because there's no point in them signing up to do social farming and not having the time to give to participants, because that's what it's all about. It's giving their time and their space for participants to come out.
The final task of the day is up towards the top of the farm, where a gate is needed on the newly fenced paddock.
And so we're here with the gate.
We're just waiting to level it.
How is it on the...
It's still up this side. It's not leveled enough.
A little bit more.
Tiny bit
There's
more.
There's a tiny little... I think
it's a little off.
We get it on. We get it on. If you hold that tight.
Time they finish, there'll be two more paddocks in the field in total.
So you're all done for the day, boys?
Yep.
Yeah. When will you be back again?
Just the next week. Probably just finish with the sheep. Probably finish that.
Yeah, probably that.
And probably stuff with the alpacas.
It's a shame that you can't see on radio Bradley and Tighe's smiles as they scramble into the van, and the answering ones from those waving them off. But I hope that you can get a feel for the general air of satisfaction and positivity fostered this morning. I'm certain you'll join me in wishing Tighe and Bradley the very best for further adventures in farming and in life, and thanking everyone at Quarryfield Farm for their warm and open welcome. Next week is the final episode in the series, and we're going to visit the Tattyhoker Farm in North Sligo along with Claire and Naomi, a couple of occupational therapists working with the mental health services in the Northwest. We'll take a little step back and hear a bit more about how the whole process of social farming works for farmers. So if you know anyone that might have an inclination to give it a go, you can tell them to tune in. Thanks for your own company today. I hope that you'll also be listening again next week.